This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, welcome back. Mike and I, Mike was giving me an English lesson on how to pronounce some names.
Yeah, and he did every one of them wrong.
I did.
And I had to repeat myself 36 times.
Yeah, that's about right.
So we're going to talk about English language this afternoon instead of plants.
No Chinese mixed in.
No, Hong Kong fooey. But anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you're sitting back with a glass of iced tea or something like that. And you're pondering all the questions that you want to call and ask me about why is my fruit tree doing this, or why is my lawn turning really, really brown, or why are the flowers just wilted away? Well, there's a lot of good reasons for that, and I've got the answers. So if you have that kind of a question, you can call 673-4464. 673-4464. Easy number.
Mm-hmm.
I even know it by now. I've only been on here 20 years.
I see you don't have it written down there.
I do.
Right there it is. Yeah, you're hiding it from me.
I always have everything written down because you confuse me so much that I get mixed up a lot. Well, the fruit flies are coming. Fruit flies. Isn't little tiny pain in the neck little flies.
This is a family show.
I know. And, you know, or they might even be here by now, I'm sure. I've seen them at my place. They come in groups of thousands, and they're very, very small, so they look like a dust cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, where'd that little dust cloud that's moving 30 miles an hour across my yard come from? Well, they're fruit flies, and they are just a real nuisance. They attack fruit indoors and outdoors.
And so you can't hardly get rid of them.
I know.
Very difficult.
A good rainstorm will get rid of them.
Will it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They are a blank, 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 blank pest.
A little little bleach will, too.
Yeah, I know. Bleach will get them. But then your yard stinks with bleach. But they come in and they eat or just stay in your yard. And they eat the fruit. And you got some nice good-looking apples or pears or bananas or whatever you're growing in your yard. They just come in there and go, wow, look at that guy. He's a master gardener. Let's go eat his food. It looks so good. And they just stay there. And they stay there, and then their life cycle is somewhat short. And after they've eaten their fill, they usually die, but a new group comes in and takes their place.
So.
But there are several ways to get rid of them. With herbs, with plants, and even some trees. I'm not sure how this works out. I was doing some research on this. Yeah, I just sprayed the boogers. But so by growing, though, the right plants, it's a natural way to keep them away. So, you know, forget about the sprays. And the most effective plant that repels them is lavender. Now, I spoke about lavender. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a great plant. I'm going to buy 20,000 of them, put them around my pile.
Yeah, I bet they're cheap, too.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Yeah. But lavender, and that's what I talked about, the lavender festival that was out in Garden Valley here a few weeks back. But, of course, it has a very distinctive scent, and fruit flies hate it.
Good.
That's the only thing they hate, I think, in the whole world. But as I've written in past articles about lavender, it's a beautiful flowering shrub. Get it in your yard and grow it into a nice shrub or a hedge, or, you know, you cut the flowers for bouquets, put them in your kitchen or living room, and it just really gives you a beautiful aroma. And as a bonus, lavender will repel spiders, rodents, and even deer. They will repel them. Deer might take a bite, but that's the last bite it's going to take. So grow it outdoors as a yard guard, and then cut it for protection indoors and keep the fruit flies out. And you know, another thought is if you got some, say, halfway decent, you know, small fruit trees and with fruit on them and the fruit flies are running around, cut a couple of bouquets of lavender and just tie them to the tree. Just hang them on the branches and stuff, and that will perfume the entire tree, and that might be a good natural way to keep those little fruit flies from coming in and destroying your crop.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, whoa.
It's kind of like the in-laws.
Yeah, somewhat like that. But it's, like I say, it's good indoors, it's good outdoors, and it really is a beautiful plant. Now, basil, believe it or not, is another non-toxic plant that repels fruit flies. And I stumbled on this information. I thought, man, this is cool, because I've never found a way to really, you know, knock them out or keep them away. And the basil also works well against ants and mosquitoes and cats and dogs, too. I mean, for some reason, the little tiny creatures and the bigger ones, too. And there are a few more plants that work to repel the fruit flies, like peppermint and rosemary, eucalyptus tree leaves. So if you have a eucalyptus tree, or if you have a neighbor that has one, you know, cut a couple of branches of the eucalyptus tree and tie them together and just hang them in your fruit trees, you know, or put them around in your plants for a while. And the odor keeps the fruit flies away. They hate it. They can't stand it. So it's all, you know, because the sprays I've used in the past, they work, but they're only temporary. But you get something like this where you can put plants or branches or something like that, and they're good for a few weeks at least until they lose their oomph.
Right.
But then you could cut a few more and stick them in. But by that time, the fruit flies, their life cycle has dissipated. They're dead fruit flies at that point.
That's the only good one.
Yeah. And in the house, you know, cut a nice bouquet of these rosemary or eucalyptus kind of branches and put them in a vase and put them in the house, and bingo, you're good to go. No flies. How's that?
Mm.
So that's a natural repellent and, I was going to say herbicide, but an insecticide. And it will, you know, be fragrant and no muss, no fuss. And when you're done, when it's lost its oomph, you just throw them on a mulch pile and turn them into compost after a year or two.
Yeah.
So here we are, almost to August.
I love August, hot month.
Oh, good. What do you think? This has been a cold month. You know, jeez Louise. Oh, another dry month, August. Yes, I know. So don't forget to add a little bit more water to those newly planted shrubs and trees and the lawn, and a little bit more. You don't have to go overboard on that, because it's kind of hard to overwater in August. It's not impossible. I know people that have done it, but
yeah, there's a will, there's a way.
Yes, I'm going to water this sucker for 3 hours, and if it don't grow, I'm throwing it away. It's a little bit harder to overwater, especially a lawn in August, because you know, there's very little soil moisture left at that time of year in the root zones. I mean, there's some, but it's minimal, and if you don't water, what you get is premature fall on the plants.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're not going to die or anything like that, but they're just going to preserve themselves. They're going to lose their leaves, or the leaves will turn color.
Yeah.
I've already got stuff at my house up on the hill that are starting to color up in the fall pattern.
Mm.
And that's the places that are, you know, kind of steep, no water, real rocky soil, so there's not much moisture in that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so they grow when they can, and then to preserve life for next year, they start to prematurely, you know, color up. I mean, they're not just instant hot red or orange or anything like that, but the tinges on the outside of the leaves
you
are starting.
You can see it coming.
Yeah, you can see it coming, and it'll probably be another, by the end of August, they'll probably look like it's October, you know. But,
yeah.
You know, it's
funny
not
how they can tell.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all a moisture thing and a sunlight thing. And when you have the right amount of soil moisture and the right amount of sunlight, they grow really well. But when you overdo any one of those things, that's when the damage begins to occur in any plant. And especially in the natural, you know, you look at some of the hillsides around here as you're growing, you know, driving around town or out towards Sutherland, Winston, whatever. And if you look up there, you can start to see some of the oaks, and it's mostly oaks that you'll start to see color change right now up on those ridges where, you know, nobody waters them. You know, there's nothing up there but, you know, real rocky, dry soil.
Yeah.
And so consequently, that's a self-preservation thing that they have, and because they want to live another year, and bingo, they start to do the process. So that's the way that goes.
Too bad us humans couldn't shut down for 2 or 3 months. And
well,
come back.
Yeah, but not die, just go to
sleep. Yeah,
yeah. That's right. Take a rest, and we'll come back to life in April.
A long siesta.
Or March.
Yeah.
Man, did I have a dream. A long, long dream.
I dreamed that. No, I can't say who was president.
Yeah, don't tell me any of your dreams. So, you can water, like I say, and the lawn. The lawns will also go into premature dormancy if you don't water or don't water enough. So if you want to keep that puppy green, you're just going to, in this hot, hot, dry spell that we're in and going to still be until who knows when it's going to rain again and cool off, maybe mid-September. You never can tell.
Or during the Douglas County Fair.
Yeah, right. I remember one year my kids were small. And it was pouring.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we want to go to the fair. So we went, and it was pouring. And they got on them rides, and the rides whipping them around, you know. And my
they
wife
didn't
and I,
care.
No, they had a great time. My wife and I are sitting there, standing there getting soaked while they're laughing.
Let's go home.
Yeah, I want to go home. After a while, they got tired of they got soaked.
Yeah.
After, you know, an hour.
No fun after that.
I know. It isn't. It isn't at all. But, you know, we can get that kind of rain in August. I've seen it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I would love to see it happen. I'd like to see 2 inches of rain, for 5 days, but not every day, every other day.
So. Maybe not during the fair because people rely on that.
No, especially during a fair. No, but just to, you know, that when you think about how much good that would do for our vegetation, for our forest,
sure.
Forest fires and all that kind of stuff, because they're cropping up all over. The one in Agnes area.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been over in Agnes?
I did.
That? That country is like straight up and down. I mean, it is how you would fight a fire, and that you have to do it by helicopters or something.
I don't remember a whole lot about it. I was like 5 years old.
I drove through that area went through Grants Pass, and you know you can go down into that country and on the back roads.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
we went camping up there. What I remember.
But it's a dry.
It was so hot that summer, our car caught on fire.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Can I tell you what brand it was?
Yeah, go ahead.
It was a 56 Ford.
Well, that figures.
Oh, Lord, that was an interesting summer.
Okay, well, I'm talking about lawns that turn brown. Okay?
And water.
And water. Don't panic if it does. It's not quite dead. Because lawns, you know, they may be brown on top, but they're still alive.
Yeah.
And the root system's still alive because they are tough. The heat on top, the blades are small, so consequently, day after day after day of hot sun has a tendency to toast them, and if you're not watering enough, and so consequently, they go dormant and they'll go, geez Louise, what's wrong with my lawn? Mm-hmm. Well, you can turn up that water, hit it every day for about 4 or 5 days in a row for a long time, it'll green right back up.
Mm.
But if you don't, as we get into the fall pattern where we actually get some rain, you'd be amazed at how quickly they respond and how quickly they turn green simply because they got adequate moisture and the temperature isn't 102.
Yeah.
You know.
You notice that along the freeway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the natural fields and things like mm-hmm. that. Across from the nursery I used to own, they have cows over there, and it's green and it's beautiful, and they hay it, and there's kind of brown stubble, but if they put the irrigation on that, then they got the big gigantic irrigation system,
mm-hmm.
and it just within a week it's green, not totally, but
right
looking it, good. Looking
you can
like
tell it's coming.
Yeah, we got a break.
Yeah, you speaking of cows, you ever go cow tipping?
No.
No, I didn't either, but I sure wanted to.
Okay.
Some of my friends did, and they thought it was funny, but I never got to.
When we get in the break, tell me what you're talking about.
What's our number, Mike?
673-4464 if you have a real question.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Oh, oh Lord, my, our misspent youth.
I never did that.
Anyway, back in the weeds.
Are we back?
We back.
Okay.
We back.
I didn't hear any music or any intro or anything like that, so are we talking to ourselves now?
No, I hope not.
Oh, gosh. Anyway, well, like I say, August is a tough month. It's kind of like January, but only opposite. January can be a hellacious month. It can snow. It can rain incessantly. It can freeze. It can do all those things and cause a whole bunch of trouble. And August is the opposite. It just gets hot, stays hot, and burns everything up, you know? I mean, geez Louise. But, so, therefore, do not forget, add a little bit more water to your newly planted shrubs, you know? And I say newly planted, you know, if you planted them this year, they're newly planted. They're not fully rooted in.
Yeah.
And just get them over the hump till about September or October, and then, you know, pretty much next year is going to be half as much care, and the year after that, probably little or no care, and... But the first year is always the toughest one. You don't want those little hair roots to dry out. You want them to be vigorous and get going.
Be survivors.
Right. Be survivors. Because in August, you know, very little soil moisture in those root zones naturally. And all the lawns, of course, is going to need a little bit of extra time this time of year if you want a green lawn. But if you don't care, like I said earlier, just let it go. It'll come back. Little patches may die, and then you'll get some kind of a strange weed going in there, which will eventually take over your lawn, and you'll probably be taking the lawn out in 10 years and replacing it with cardboard or something, but it happens. But like I say, lawn turns brown, don't panic. It's dormant. It's okay. And when it rains, it's coming back. Or when the temps cool down, the lawn will come back. It's how it goes. Now, a newly planted shrub will let you know when it needs a drink. And I've said this 100 times, but, you know, there might be somebody new listening. And it's going to look a little droopy. I mean, the leaves, instead of standing straight out to the side or upwards, they'll actually be limp. They'll be, you know, just kind of hanging.
Yeah.
And so then you want to give it a good soak. And you don't want to do it every day, but, you know, once a week, maybe twice a week at the most, and that plant will snap out of its doldrums there and look really good. And potted plants, of course, need more regular watering simply because they're in a pot. They're confined. Their roots can't go any deeper than the bottom of the pot, and they're confined, so they may need a little bit more water. And, of course, depends on the size of the pot. Now, my wife brought some of these half whiskey tubs or whatever they are, the wooden ones, you know, with the slats and all that. And she put in, some azaleas and just other things. And there's enough room in there because an azalea is not going to fill that whole pot up with roots.
Oh.
So consequently, they don't need a whole lot of water.
They have kind of shallow roots.
Right. They're shallow, and they don't go very deep at all, and they don't spread out until they're really, really old.
Yeah.
So there's not a problem. But a smaller pot, you know, something that's, say, 12 inches in diameter and 12 inches deep, That's the kind that dry out fairly quickly, especially if it's in the sun. So you can move it into a place where it's shady in the afternoon, and you know, you keep it alive at least, or repot it in that next winter to something that's large and can contain the roots for a while, and you're not going to be worrying about it dying because it lacks the water, that kind of thing. But like I say, if it's droopy, give it a good soak. And then potted plants, they just need, like I say, more regular watering because they're in a pot. The roots can't go deep. They're confined, for goodness sakes. And if you have a vegetable garden, you should be reaping the benefits right about now, because we have been eating vegetables for, almost a month.
Wow. Tomatoes?
Tomatoes, broccoli. Homegrown broccoli and the store-bought broccoli taste a whole lot different.
Oh, I would imagine.
Yeah. You know, the homegrown stuff tastes pretty good. I even eat it. My wife cooks it, so I have to eat it.
It probably tastes actually like a vegetable.
Yeah, yeah, kind of crunchy and fresh. And, you know, she cuts them in the morning and brings them in and cooks them for dinner and go, whoa, that's good. And, you know, of course, we planted our garden after Mother's Day, just right after Mother's Day, and are eating fresh vegetables every night. Let's see, tomatoes. Gosh, we got, five tomato plants, and it'd take five people to eat them all every day.
You know?
I mean, that's how, and they're just beautiful. They're just gorgeous. Oh. And they taste so much different than what you buy in the store.
I can't find a good one at the store.
Yeah, I know.
They're hard, or they're just real soft. And
there's no taste.
No, absolutely no taste.
That's because they ride on a truck for 24 hours to get to the store.
I've been searching all summer long for a good tomato.
Well, you know, if I can think about it, next Wednesday I'll bring you one of my tomatoes.
Would you, Will? Really?
Yeah, and it'll cost you $100.
Okay. Rochelle, I need a draw.
I'll give you a 50% discount.
Okay.
What the heck? But... Here's kind of a short list of our harvest at this point. Tomatoes, peppers, and there's several types of tomatoes, the small ones, the mediums, and the bigs. Peppers, strawberries, cucumbers, squash, broccoli, and green beans.
Nice.
And we've been eating them all for about a month.
Did you plant any corn?
No, not this year.
Oh.
Not this year, because I tried it last year and it was a flop. It didn't work because it's in a raised planter. And I don't know. It was an experiment. I wanted to see what it would do.
Corn likes to be free range.
Yeah, they do. And they don't like to be I planted them way too close because I didn't want to take up the rest of the box because of the other vegetables. So it was an experiment. Just to see, hey, is it going to do it or not?
Now I don't.
Why waste my time, man? But my wife fertilizes it once a week with Dr. Earth's liquid fertilizer. Mm. And Dr. Earth, I don't know where the heck she got it, but maybe from the nursery when we left it. I don't know.
China.
Might be from China. And it has a 7-2-2 formula. 7% nitrogen, 2% phosphorus, 2% potassium. So that's, and the results are amazing. It does really, really good. And with this weather, you can start a garden now. If you haven't done it, and have fresh veggies by, say, Labor Day, easily.
Nice.
Yeah, as long as you keep it watered and put it in good soil, take care of it and pay attention, you could take, a lot of the box stores have all those plants that are overgrown in them little tiny pots, and they're probably on sale at half price or something. Buy some of those, and instead of planting them as deep as they are in the pot, like a tomato, plant it 4 or 5 inches down so it can actually stand up. And if it's still weeping over, put a little stick or something and stake it up. And within a week, it's going. I mean, it's really going.
Because it's probably too late for watermelon.
Maybe. Depends on the fall. Yeah, watermelon takes a while.
Yeah.
But, the tomatoes, the peppers, carrots, broccoli.
I like broccoli.
Well, I had to learn to like it. Mm. And all my life growing up, I never ate broccoli because my mom didn't like it either.
Okay.
That's why I love my mom so much. She didn't like broccoli.
Not even with butter on it.
Well, I put mayonnaise on it, and it's good.
Mm. I never tried it that way.
I thought, the first time I saw that, you put mayonnaise on that stuff? She's trying. Okay, I tried. Hey, it's pretty good.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah, it disguises the broccoli taste all the good.
It's all those nice ingredients in the mayo.
Yeah. But like I say, if you plant a garden, you don't have to be a big timer, but tomatoes, peppers, some squash maybe, and little stuff that doesn't take a long time to produce. But like I say, by Labor Day, you're eating fresh veggies, or even sooner. And it's never too late, but you start with some plants and not the seeds. The seeds would take a while to come up and grow and do all this, whereas the plants that are already in containers at a box store or a nursery or something like that, they've already got a root system. All you're going to do is give it a better location, and it's going to explode on you. you know, with plants, like I say, this time of year, they're tall and they're rangy and they're falling over. Don't be dismayed or dissuaded. They're okay. They just want you to get them in the ground, a little wooden stake, and tie them up so they don't break. And within, gosh, weeks, they're straight up and growing and looking good, like they never were crippled in the first place.
Nice.
You know? And like I say, plant them a little bit deeper than normal. And they're just gonna do a good thing to go. Oh yeah, they're good to go. So how are we doing on time?
About a minute, two minutes.
All right. Now, there are plants that heal. In other words, make us feel better and heal us when we cut ourselves or burn ourselves and all that. But there are plants that heal. They're all around us. In
CBD, CBD.
CBD.
That's an extract from marijuana.
No, I'm not talking that. I'm talking plants. I'm talking
real
plants. I'm not talking contraband here. but you know, we spray a lot of weeds that have great healing properties.
Oh,
and most people don't know about it. For instance, dandelions. Oh, I got dandelions in my lawn. You know, spray them suckers out, cut them off, and all that. Well, it grows everywhere, and they're fantastic growers. And they, if you harvest them, you can make a salve out of it that will heal cuts or burns or anything like that. And then it's a natural thing because they're chock full of antibacterial and antifungal properties.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody says, well, that's just a weed. That's a dandelion. Yeah right. Well, surprising, they're useful. And they're also anti-inflammatory and can reduce swelling and can help to clean and cleanse clogged pores. I don't know. I guess if your pores on your skin or whatever are clogged for some reason.
Oils or something.
Yeah. Well, if you rub this on, you make your compost. Yeah, your paste with dandelions that opens them up and helps you.
Makes you feel young again, maybe.
It does. Yeah, for sure.
Can we take a break now?
Yes, please take a break.
More dandelions next.
Oh, I got a whole bunch. Bunch of information.
The number, Mike.
673-4464. If you're inside, call.
News Radio 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back. Another segment on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. I almost said something that had a flashback regarding your business, or your former business.
My former business. I'm, quote, retired.
There you go.
I don't know what to do with
myself.
How's
that treating you?
I don't like it.
boring? Or?
Well, I don't know what to do. I got... You know, I used to have to get up at 6, get rolling until about 6 that night and do it 6 days a week. And now I'm going, what did I do without my time?
Yeah. That would probably be me if I ever retired.
Well, go ahead. Try it. No, I mean, we're gonna go south to visit some in-laws here on Friday.
Cool.
My wife's in-laws all live in the Reno Sparks area.
That's hot down there.
Oh, it was just hot. It was 100 and
100. Oh, mamma mia.
But thankfully, they have air conditioning in their homes, so
good.
That's okay. So once a year, we go down there because they never come up here.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm going to tell them about it.
Yeah, it's a lot better climate up here.
Well, yeah, it's not quite as hot. It's 2 degrees cooler here.
Speaking of being hot, I think it was in Japan. Now, you asked me how hot was it.
Yeah, how hot was it?
Guy says he went out onto the parking lot and his shoes melted. I don't know if that's possible, but...
Well, you know, maybe they had thin soles.
That could be.
I don't see Japan as being a hot spot.
I think it was Japan. Could have been China, where they're wearing those things over their faces.
Could be. Now, China, does get more severe weather than Japan, because most of Japan's along the coast.
Coast, yeah. Probably was China.
Yeah, it could be. Or Vietnam. It gets hot in Vietnam, trust me.
Hot and muggy, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. Constantly. It doesn't ever let up.
Oh, Lord.
I sweated 300 gallons when I was there.
Oh, no. They probably have cockroaches 6 feet long.
No, seven.
Seven.
Yeah, we used to kill them and barbecue them.
Oh, let's move on.
I always wanted the fourth leg. All right, back to garden stuff.
Oh, please.
Jeez Louise. Oh, I was talking about dandelions and their healing capacity and how good they are. And, you know, most people look at them as weeds and either spray them or cut them or dig them or get rid of them. Well, shoot, they're a natural healer. And there are, I'm sure, the internet thing is probably filled with recipes for healing using dandelions. But what they do when you, and I'll tell you how to mix them up here at the end of this, but they're, like I said, they're an anti-inflammatory, and they can reduce swelling and help clean clogged pores. Now, I don't know what clogged pores really are, but that's what the research said. And dandelions also help to detoxify by being diuretic. It flushes the liver and the kidneys when you drink it. And you can use all parts of a dandelion, the flowers, the leaves, the stems, they all... Oh, you grind them, let them dry up, you grind them all together, and you can make a salve out of them for minor cuts, bumps, scrapes. And, you know, this is less expensive than a pharmacy, and you don't even need a prescription. And you can also make some dandelion wine. But here's a short list of other plants with medical properties that we all have in our area, that then all grow in our area. Calendula helps dry skin, relieves rashes, helps with inflammation, bug bites, and scrapes. And it's a pretty plant to grow in a pot or as part of your landscaping, too. So it has multiple uses, because the last few weeks I've been speaking about having an edible landscape and having landscaping with, you know, a lot of vegetables instead of just a lot of shrubs, or shrubs that you can use as part of them as edible at the same time. So this is kind of the tail end of that soliloquy, if you will. And let's see, we're a calendula. Okay, I got the calendula. But also, the calendula has bright orange flowers, very, very bright, very orange. You'd like that. And then you can add to the list yarrow, lemon balm, and plantain.
Sounds like a folk rock group
the
60s.
It is. Peter, Paul, and Mary, that's what they named their kids. Okay, all of these can be found in yards or fields right here in Douglas County. All you have to do is identify them. You don't want to do the poison oak trip and mess everything up, or poison ivy. But there are many ways to make the salves, but the internet will be useful in giving you the recipes of these things to the fullest extent. But here are some quick tips. Whatever plant you select, you know, you rinse the leaves, clean the plant off, clean it very well, and then put it into a container with a lid on it so no bugs or anything get into it, and allow them to dry. And that's very important, to allow them to dry. And when the leaves are crispy dry, they're ready for the next step. And crispy dry means you can pick up the leaves and just take them in your hand and crunch them, and they turn into kind of like a powder-like.
Oh, okay.
And now the next step is you mix them or infuse them, the article said. Infuse the dry crushed leaves with, say, olive oil or grapeseed oil or coconut oil. And you kind of make a paste with that. And after soaking with leaves, strain and use it externally for the cuts, the bumps, rashes, you know, you bang your hand, like I bang my elbow or my forearm here last week, and it all turned purple.
Mine
is starting to heal up.
I see that.
It was twice that big and twice that red.
My.
Yeah, because I was in my truck on the passenger side, and I grabbed something, and I pulled my arm out real quick, and it hit the edge of the open door.
Ow.
Ah, painful.
Oh, mama.
I wish I would have had one of these these concoctions made up.
So instantly.
I could have done that. Yeah. But these things, these are, you know, plants, they're weeds. It's good to do. And like I say, they're very, very cheap because mm-hmm. they're usually growing in your yard. Or
nobody
field,
wants them.
Or a field close to your yard.
Yeah.
But as I said, the details can probably be found on the internet or try Facebook.
Google.
Google. and Facebook, they gave an address. It's called The Seed Nerd. The Seed Nerd.
Nerd. Is that one word?
No, that's three words. The Seed Nerd. Okay. On Facebook.
That makes a difference.
Okay. You know, I don't know. And you're going to get a whole lot more detailed information there. But the bottom line is that many shrubs and flowers have healing properties growing in our yards. Learn what the heck they are and learn to use them properly. And you might, who knows what you can save by not buying something at your local pharmacy or one of the other, you know, one of the box stores that have the drug aisle and stuff like that. And it might seem far out and far-fetched, but supposing your favorite box store or your favorite pharmacy all of a sudden didn't have anything like that to sell mm-hmm. you because they were short supplied. Or
China
whatever.
Cut us off.
Yeah, somebody cut us off. And maybe it was the Canadians, for crying out loud. But
they wouldn't do that.
No, they're nice people. But these are kinds of things that I think are valuable just to, you know, you don't have to do it, run out there and get her done, but just to have the knowledge that it can be done and look up the process on the internet and say, hey, yeah, I can do this and make a batch and try it out.
Sure.
If it works, hey, you're good to go.
You got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But many, many shrubs have these healing properties There were too many to really list and read about and see what, you know, how do you prep them? How do you do this? How do you apply them? All that kind of stuff. But they're here. And just learn what they are and where they grow and learn how to use them properly. Now, here's something off the
beaten path.
Yeah, kind of beaten path. I learned firsthand when I was 16 years old about mm-hmm. dandelion wine.
Mm.
Yeah.
Please, tell more.
Yeah, and it was from a book I was reading, and it was fiction, and Ray Bradbury, who was a science fiction guy, wrote this book about, and the name of it was Dandelion Wine. And I thought, he was. And he actually kind of gave a recipe on how to make dandelion wine in the book. I'm thinking, okay, so I'm 16, right? We're living on a ranch up in the hills. So I picked a bucket of dandelions and added a couple gallons of water as an experiment. And I left it to soak under a bed out in the barn for a few weeks and maybe a month, I'm not sure. And then I poured a cupful just to see. It looked terrible. And all these dead leaves floating around and this stuff. And I thought, well, I wonder if it's really wine.
So it didn't look appetizing.
No, it didn't. So I strained it, got the big chunks out, and I thought, well, gee whiz, I'll try, see what it tastes like.
Yeah.
Well, one taste was all it took.
I'll bet.
After I stopped choking on this vile brew, I quickly dumped the bucket
said,
you know, this brew's not for you.
Was it worse than Boone's Farm?
Oh, it tasted like a bucket of weeds.
I
thought, they must have lied in that fiction book.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why it's fiction.
I guess so.
But a lesson
learned about the, the natural the natural world at 16.
Yeah. And then that, well, I guess we better take a break.
We'll take a break. Okay.
One more time, the phone number.
673-4464 if you want to hear any more funny stories.
Thank you, sir. 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Oh, yeah.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
got to be one of the most secure places in the world, I would think.
Well, that's what they say.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, speaking, we're not secured at all, are we?
Have you locked the door?
No.
Kyle can't get at us?
Well, yeah, that's the trouble. He can.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway.
Well, I was talking in the last segment about... the
homemade wine.
Homemade wine, but that didn't, like I say, that didn't go over really well. But, you know, natural healing weeds that we have growing in our yards and adjacent properties that we, you know, we can actually make things like that. And I think it's kind of good general knowledge to kind of keep in the back of your head in case, with this corona junk that happened, you know, and they ran out of this and they ran out of that, and, you know. Well, don't make it so you don't have to rely on that kind of stuff. And who knows what they might run out of.
Be independent.
As much as you can.
Yes.
And anyway, I learned my lesson from trying to have a sip of that dandelion wine. I don't know if it's a real thing or it was just a fiction thing that Ray Bradbury.
So it really didn't give you a buzz or nothing?
No, it didn't. It gave me a... I wanted a...
Find the nearest,
yeah. Oh, man, that was dumb.
Oh, no.
I'm not doing that again. But, you know, I should have just taken it and wiped my scrapes and bumps and bruises, and it might have healed that. I'm not sure.
Probably would have.
But, you know, I didn't know any better, and there was no internet back in 1962, and I couldn't turn it on if I wanted to, so what the heck.
You had to try it.
I know. I had to try it. I mean, Ray Bradbury spoke about it. So many of the gardening things I've learned over the years started with my parents, you know. I was a champion weed picker, and they did teach me how to plant and identify vegetables and shrubs and trees.
Well, they planted the seed, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think that's a good thing for every kid to learn.
Absolutely.
How to garden, how to grow your own food, even if you know. Start early and do it until you get her down.
That's right.
And, you know, sometimes like I said in the past, I overdid it in growing way too much corn or way too many potatoes or way too many tomatoes, you know, but we had plenty to eat.
Oh, yeah. You know? I don't know. Can you really plant too much corn?
I guess you can. If you store it properly, no.
I was going to say, I love corn.
I do, too. Corn on the cob.
Oh, yes.
It's just down the road to Brosize. Oh, boy. Or out there in Garden Valley with Cruz.
Do they have it now?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
I'm waiting.
It's getting close.
Yes.
But like I said, I was the champion weed picker, and they did teach me, my parents did teach me how to plant, identify vegetables, how to take care of them. And, you know, my dad will also teach me about some shrubs and trees. And on our ranch in Butte Falls, I learned the different trees, and I won a bet with my dad one time. And we were walking out toward the woods, and I said that a certain tree in our field was a pretty nice cedar tree. And his response was, that's not a cedar tree, that's a fir tree.
You blankety blank.
And we argued. I was only about 9, 10. And we argued for a couple of minutes, and I said, no, you're wrong. And he just said, no, you're wrong. Come on, let's go hunting.
Yeah.
And so I said, wait a minute. And then I bet him $1 that it was a cedar.
That was big money.
Now, my allowance was 50 cents a week when we had the money.
Right, right.
And
sometimes it took a month.
I know. They owe me a lot. anyway, I bet him $1 that it was a cedar. And we had a neighbor that was a logger. And he happened to drop by our place one day shortly after my discussion with my dad.
Uh-huh.
And so we asked him about what kind of tree that was, and he promptly said, well, that's an incense cedar. And
bingo!
I laughed. And I laughed, and my dad frowned, and I ran. No, he wasn't mad. But I won $1, which was like 2 weeks
he
allowance.
He paid up?
Oh, yeah, he paid up. I bugged him till he did. I see. I'll bring that cedar tree in here and beat you with it. No, I didn't say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you pick your switch from it.
And because at the time, Butte Falls Elementary School had a 4-H forestry program.
Oh.
And I was a member of that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, my dad never bet me again on any of the tree species, though. I'll tell you that.
He learned his lesson.
Oh, he learned his lesson. And you know, dollars were hard to come by back in the 60s. But at any rate, 4-H forestry, we were, you know, fifth, sixth graders, maybe seventh grade young. Mm-hmm. And we would walk around the town and on the outskirts of town, and Butte Falls ain't that big, but there's a lot of trees. There's a timber community up above Medford, about 35 miles, and they had a big fire up there just recently. Mm. In fact, it was on the front page of this News Review. So at any rate, we learned the different trees. We learned some of the basic, like Oregon grape and vine maple and salal and ferns. And we'd cut samples and put them in a book and write a little bit about them, or, you know, where we got them, what they were, that
kind of like thing. An insect book.
Yeah. And I loved it, because we got out of class early on a certain day.
Sure.
Once a week, and we were able to walk through. And like I say, Butte Falls is very rural, so there was lots of trees. There wasn't much landscaping as we know it today. It was all natural stuff. So this guy, I think he worked at the State Forestry Department, because there was a State Forestry office there on the edge of town, and walked us around, and we identified things and showed us the cones and showed us, blah, 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 and how the trees grew. Very interesting. I was turned on. I thought, man, this is so cool. But I was always interested in plants.
Sure. Yeah.
So consequently, that's why I became a landscape contractor, and I got 2 degrees in forestry, and grew thousands and thousands of plants over my career, and enjoyed every bit of it.
Oh, you betcha.
So are we done?
Almost 9 seconds.
9 seconds. I hope you listened. I hope you learned something. And call me next week, will you, for crying out loud?
What's the number? They can jot it down.
673-4464.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
You're welcome.
What stories are we going to be told next week?
I don't know. I haven't thought of them yet.
All right. More homemade wine, maybe?
Well, no. I did that. Did that once.
All right. The afternoon report is up next on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.